Today my heart is both very joyful, but also a little bit heavy, because every time when we know of more trouble that in certain countries, believers, wonderful citizens and people, when they are persecuted and put into prisons, just because they think differently than the popular way, because of their faith. And they're persecuted. It happens in so many countries, and I have one country in mind right now. But just generally speaking, it's good to pray for people who are persecuted and people who need also physical healing. We live in physical bodies. Our real life is deep, deep, deep in the spirit. Like in a palm tree, the life power, the sap goes in the center of the tree. So we can go through many, many trials. It does not put down our faith unless we allow it. But we live in a real world. I mean, the spiritual world is really the real world. But we live in this other world as well, which is what we experience in daily basis. So, Father, we turn to you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah of Israel and Savior of the world. And we turn to you, dear Father, that you would open us some scriptures, some truths to build us up. Our strength is not in ourselves. We don't hold up anything. The faith you gave us is your faith. And you uphold us. Our part is just to keep looking to you, believing to you, and follow you. Who you are, what you say. And our strength is always from you. Like a branch draws from the tree in the name of Yeshua. Just like a branch draws all the sap from the tree itself. We don't produce anything of our own, but we have joined with you, your word, your spirit, because we have the forgiveness, because we have the atonement, because you are our foundation. In the name of Yeshua, amen. I often think about it, how we don't uphold anything. Do you remember the verse in Genesis chapter 28? There's a verse that says when Jacob was laying on the stone, and his head was on that stone laying down, he saw a dream, amazing dream. And there was a ladder set up. And the English Bible says, on the earth. Ladder was set on the earth. But this is a mistaken notion. Hebrew word is ladder was set up archa, towards the earth. Not al haaretz, not upon the earth, but towards the earth. It means the strength of the ladder is from heaven and is reaching us. It's reaching us. God's salvation reaches us. But we don't hold it up by faith. It's not our faith that holds up anything. He holds the ladder. Messiah is the living ladder. He holds this up. In Eastern houses, you had two floors. Lower floor, where were a lot of daily activities. And then you could go to the upper floor, where were the supplies. And the ladder connects these two floors. But it's one house. That's why Apostle Paul talked about God's family like a great house. Some are already up there and we are still here. Abraham is there, Jacob is there, apostles are there, but we are in the same house. On this floor where we are in a physical body, we don't see the things in the other layers, but we do see them by faith. We see them by faith. The book of Hebrews is an amazing book. I really love the book of Hebrews, and in America, our friends are going now through the book of Hebrews. Personally, to me, it's amazing how chapter 11 puts so much together, what the book of Hebrews is about. And I will, if the Lord will, touch a few things about this chapter in an easy way. And I pray that the Lord will quicken, make alive something to us. It starts that the faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm in Hebrews 11, verse 1. And in Aramaic, it's actually even a little bit stronger, but it's the same idea exactly. That, like, what is our evidence? What is our evidence? Our evidence is faith in who God is, what God has said, and what God has done. What He has said, who He is, what He has said, and what He has done. By the way, again, I opened the internet today, and there was one window which says that we will show you the real meaning of Israel. Church is the new Israel. There's no Israel anymore. Now, I know the church is very important. I know the church is God's eternal thought. I don't ever want to put down the church. But when somebody says the church is the real Israel, you know how we know it's a lie? There's one proof. What did our Lord say? Our Lord said, you will not see me again henceforth until you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. This was spoken to the Jewish leaders of the house of Judah, and even primarily tribe of Judah. He said to them, you won't see me until you say this. But when you say this, it's implied, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Welcome in the name of the Lord. We accept you. He'll come. The church has been saying last 2,000 years, come, Lord. Come. But He has not come. Because it is the Jewish nation that has to join the party of the elder brother. In other words, it has to be the Jewish nation that say, come. And He will come. Otherwise, it's all a lie, and it is not a lie. Therefore, you don't need any more arguments. This one stone is like a stone that David hit the Goliath and he went down. This is the only proof I need. Well, believe me, I have lots of proof. And then there are tribes of Israel and they are everywhere in many places. And, you know, people talk about them very good. But it doesn't matter how many tribes are scattered somewhere. The Jewish leaders here need to say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. And He will come. This was kind of a side note. But I just want to point out
how simple the truth is. Truth is simple. When Yeshua said to the woman who was taken in sin, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. She went uncondemned, and no one had power to condemn her. When Yeshua said, I don't condemn you, now don't return the old way. When the woman came, that was in John 8, in the first 12 or so verses, and in Luke 7, when the lady came, the woman came who was in deep trouble and deep sins. We have no details about that, and we don't need to know about that. And she came voluntarily and wept and washed Yeshua's feet. With her tears, wiped them with her hair, and anointed them. Didn't she anoint them? Anointed them with oil. Isn't that right? With alabaster oil. That's right. Alabaster oil. And Yeshua at the end said to the man, her sins, which are many. The man really wanted to hear this statement, that she has many sins. He wanted to hear that. But it doesn't matter, many or not many. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, he loves little. That was the man who invited him. You don't have a whole lot of love to me. You didn't wash my feet. You didn't anoint me with oil. And then turning to the woman, Yeshua would say, the Savior would say, your sins are forgiven. And no mention, don't sin anymore. Why? She came voluntarily. So when the people come with a broken heart, when they come and they bring their sins to Yeshua, he doesn't need to say anymore, don't sin anymore. That would be putting like a little cloud of the forgiveness. The person might even think that, but what if I fall again and I don't want to fall? Am I still in grace? No. Yeshua knows how to give the medicine. The ones that were brought to him, or he approached them like the man at the pool, to him, Yeshua would say a bit later, don't sin anymore. But to the repentant sinner, he will only need to say, your sins are forgiven. This is final. And this message, your sins are forgiven. We live in this daily. This is the foundation of everything. This righteousness is the foundation. And then when we have this foundation, faith has a place to grow. If it were not based on the grace of God, if Abraham, our father, was not, if he were not justified by faith, we would not have assurance. We are in a this forgiveness brings us to a different world, to a world where there is no condemnation, discipline, yes, when we need it, because love needs to discipline, but it's a different matter. It's a different matter. It's like in Psalms, he says, I will guide you with my eye. He says, don't be like horse or the mules that need to be pulled. And I don't want to talk too much about horses because that gets me to the wrong track. I love to learn about horses. But yeah, don't be like that, that you need to be pulled. Just, I will guide with my eye. Just look at my face. Look at my eye. In my eye is no anger. In my eye is no wrath to you. I have a friendly face. And when you see my eyes, you know my heart. You know my heart. I remember in Psalm 103, he says, God remembers we are made of flesh. But hey, I was going to talk about Hebrews 11. Shall we go to Hebrews 11? Faith. Okay, faith. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed and made by the word of God. Faith gives us understanding. There are people that will say, I don't want to believe. Even if I could believe, I don't want to believe. You know, they cannot understand. Blessed are the pure in heart, whose heart God has made clean, for they shall see God. We can see God in His actions, and by faith we can see His beautiful face. The English would say His lovely face. I love that word, lovely. He has a lovely face, beautiful face, beautiful eyes. Yes, but there was a man in Hebrews 11 verse 4 whose name was Hevel. Hevel means, okay, Abel in English, but it really is Hevel. Hevel means, okay, vanity, but not only vanity, it means breath. We live by the breath of God. How did this man ever live? He was tending sheep. But sheep were, meat was not the food of the people that time. He was a priest who wanted to make sacrifice to God. Because he knew that we need a lamb for sacrifice. And he knew it from his father, Adam HaRishon, the first Adam, he knew that Adam had a skin coat, and to get the skin coat, there had to be an animal, lamb, sacrificed. And so, animal sacrifice. So he believed that there needs to be a sacrifice, and he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So Hevel means also vanity, but it means breath. So because he had the right sacrifice, he had the breath of God. He was living in the atmosphere of God. And you know what? Cain, who was of the evil one. Apostle John says it. Yes, he was of the evil one. But he could take his physical life away, and he did. He killed. Cain killed Abel's body. But Hevel would live by the breath of God. He began to live by the breath of God, we would say today, spirit. He would live by the breath of God, and God will never take that away. He that breathes in the Spirit of God, because we have sacrificed, that breath will never be taken away. And even when our physical breath is gone, because our physical breath is like heaven, it's vanity that one day will leave. There's another breath. Our inner man is living by different spirit. We call upon Him. The first believers in the early assembly were called people that call on the name of the Lord. They were known as people that call on the name of the Lord. They lived by this breath. They lived by the breath of air. How come? Because there was a sacrifice and they knew everything is paid for. Now I can pray. I can pray with confidence. That was Hevel. And there's so much more we could say. And he obtained witness that he was righteous. Maybe the smoke went right up from his sacrifice, but the sacrifice of Cain was not accepted. Oh, I love vegetables. He was a man of vegetables. I eat vegetables every week. Chicken soup or vegetables. But vegetables will not give us eternal life. They are healthy, but Cain did not have the right sacrifice. So everything about our faith is right sacrifice. The priest in the First Testament always pray, they brought the sacrifice, and we never forget that our fellowship with God is based on the sacrifice of the Lamb, the pure Lamb of God. That's why our hearts are clean, and now we live by the breath of God. How? By prayer, by calling on His name. The people of the way were also the people that called on His name. Okay, then Enoch, Hanoch, he was translated that he should not see death. He was taken. He was changed. The Aramaic says he was changed. He was changed. Changed from this world to another world. He was changed from this world to another world. We are to be people by faith who are so taken by this sacrifice of Yeshua, and who are so taken by this breath of prayer that we breathe every day. We're so taken by this that people will see that we come from another world. In a natural world, when I used to travel a lot, I haven't traveled anywhere in 6 years, but when you go somewhere, people always say, where you come from? Because they see you come from another place. My friends, we come from another place. We did come to this world through our parents. Yes, I thank God for my mother. I thank God from my father. But we also came from another place. The book of Hebrews says, God is the Father of spirits. He is the Father of our inner life. He's the Father of our spirits, and He's our Father, and Abraham is our Father. Abraham is our Father in another sense, but He did not give us our spirit. We do come from another place. So when we are engrossed with all the problems and all the things come upon us, we may forget we come from another place. We are from another place, we are from another source, and we are going to another place. So when people say, where do you come from? We need to say, what do you mean? What do you mean? How old are you? We need to say, what do you mean? I have two birthdays. Which birthday you mean? Okay. Hevel, this man, who was so wonderful man, but the other man hated him because he was not from the same place as he was. We're not from this world. We're in this world. We're not from this world. And then we can show the life of this world, the taste of this world, to our brothers here, even in Jerusalem, the way that they understand. We can show it by our tastes. We don't live by the same taste. Our taste is a touch with God, which is direct. Breath is direct. Hevel, he had a direct breath of God. God, give me more of this breath. I'm gonna go slow today. I had a message about Gideon and how amazing his life was. I don't know if I'm gonna get that far. Let's go to Romans. No. First Corinthians 12. First Corinthians 12. And sometimes believers get stuck with dogmatism. Believers get stuck with dogma. And they have this kind of idea and this kind of idea because we don't go deep enough into the scriptures. Then they go into the ideas. Do all the believers have the Holy Spirit? And in what way do all the believers have the Holy Spirit? Okay, 1 Corinthians 12:13. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. All the believers have the Holy Spirit, whether we are Jews or Aramaic, whether we are bond or free, I'm reading from Aramaic idea now, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. You remember what Captain Ian Thomas, no, he wasn't captain, he was major, Ian Thomas said. Ian Thomas said, before I knew this rest in God, how to rest in His power, I already had everything, but I was not tapped into it. I already had everything, but I didn't know how to avail of it. In other words, all the believers have the Holy Spirit. But the thing is, we don't always drink of the same Spirit. This is the point. Even the best charismatic groups, one of the great teachers said, let's not argue. All the believers have the Holy Spirit. We all need to drink. Now, the last one is my statement. We all need to drink of the same Spirit. What is it? We need to breathe in. We need to breathe in. You remember F.B. Myers? F.B. Myers. No, I meant the other man. Okay. No, I meant the other man who really lived in this message. And he wrote this poem. Once it was a blessing. Now it is the Lord. Simpson. Yes. Yeah. When he discovered this, I'm like a branch in a tree because it's been paid. He paid for all my sins. I'm going to hit something very basic. Let's really go basic tonight. I mean, this afternoon. Something really basic. When you go to the basic definitions of the believers, they say we're saved in three ways, and they're correct. That now when we are in the true faith of Yeshua, we're saved from the punishment of sin, and then daily we're saved from the power of sin, and then ultimately when we are going into the eternal kingdom of heaven, our bodies are changed, then we are saved from the presence of sin. It is true. But I have a comment about that, by the grace of God. Yes, we're saved from the punishment of sin, daily from the power of sin, because we're crucified with Him, and ultimately we'll be saved from the presence of sin. This is something so amazing that we would say, what could be more amazing? What could we add to this anymore? But there's another side. And this side is so wonderful that we can hardly talk about it. Yes, we're saved from the punishment of sin, but when we are justified, we're justified, like Romans says, so that we would drink in one spirit, that everything is not sin conscious. Sin is not the only thing in the world. Sin is a huge problem. It had to be solved. Otherwise we could have never been come into this wonderful life of the feast. But when the prodigal son came home, he knew that he escaped from the punishment, but now he was facing not the memory of it, how bad the punishment was, I mean the misery of sin was, but now it's the feast. The feast is when God says, come into my world. When he saved us, he came to our world to rescue us. 100% yes. But when he says, come into my world, this is something so wonderful that Paul uses the words, I'm sorry, Peter says in 1 Peter, it's unspeakable and full of glory. So when we are saved from the punishment of sin, we're saved into full favor. That sin is not even a question anymore there. We are in full favor. Messiah is our garment of righteousness. And God says to us, not only that I have nothing against you, God says to us, you are very beautiful, clothed in my Son. And Yeshua says unto us, now you are my marriage partner in the imagery of the Song of Songs. It's so beautiful that the sin consciousness is not even there. The reality is that we are there only by the cross. We'll never lose the cross. We'll never lose the power of the sacrifice. But it's more than sin consciousness. Now God has the right to enter into our lives. God has a way to make our heart His living room. And now the Holy Spirit, Messiah Himself, and even the Father will live in us. John chapter 15. Okay, second thing is we're saved from the power of sin. Yes, is it true? Yes, it is true. Doesn't mean we become sinless. No. Does it mean that we get rid of our flesh on this earth? No. Some of the people in the wonderful Keswick movement or Keswick movement, there were two kinds of people, and some understood that we don't get rid of the presence of the flesh or the nature of the sin. We just don't live in a slavery to it anymore. Some people thought that we become like we lose the sin nature. And out of this came a big debate, and some amazing people began to condemn this Keswick movement. Very sad, very sad. So, we are saved from the power of sin, but it's not just that. We are entering into resurrection. It's God's side of the matter. In our side, we don't need to be ruled by sin, but it's sin conscious still. Fine. It's true. But from God's side, we are walking daily into transformation. We're walking into the newness of life. Paul says, I die daily to my flesh, to my viewpoints, to my opinions. I die daily so that I enter into His world. He's pulling me in more into resurrection. This is what is meant by the salvation of the soul. In 1 Peter, is it 1, 7, 8, 9 there? Salvation of the soul is enlivening of the soul. So we are saved from the presence of sin. It's absolutely true. But let's not leave the other side. We are saved to walk into resurrection every day. Is it happening to us? Yes. Are the steps very big? Sometimes they are very small steps. Forgive me. Give me grace. More difficult news. My friends are again in trouble. More people die from around us and go to the other kingdom. Again, more friends last week. I think it was one or two people that we knew very well. Gone to the other world to be with God. Yes, it's happening. In this we groan. But while we are groaning, we are breathing the breath of God like heaven. Yeah. It's hard to talk about these things and not get excited, because these are great things. I need to take a deep breath. How about being saved from the presence of sin? I cannot even imagine. No more battles, no more pressure in our hearts, no more feeling of being condemned. No memory of sinfulness anymore. Nothing. That's already amazing enough. But there's something more amazing. Being brought fully into resurrection. That the resurrection that is already going on in our inner man will be completed. That process of resurrection is being completed finally. When we get a new body, that joy is really full of glory, and it is unspeakable. Or to use Paul's expression, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. It is this gift of God, righteousness and eternal life, is so great. I tell you, if we really, you know what Andrew Murray said? Sometime you should just take time and sit in quietness and think about this. The God who created everything, who redeemed you, the God, beautiful God, the only God, the Savior God, is living now in your heart, in your living room. And if that would get hold of you, you are another person. It got hold of A.B. Simpson. It got hold of Watchman Nee. It got hold of these great Hebrew classics. One of them was Edersheim. Edersheim got hold of it. Many of these old Hebrew classics, together with F.B. Meyer, they live in the same era. They really got hold of it. They really got hold of it. And then Andrew Murray's commentary on the book of Hebrews. Now, I haven't read it a lot because I can read it directly in Aramaic, and I let the Lord connect it to me. But even if I open these old books, oh my goodness, it's a feast. The Bible is really a feast. So I can say, we can say again safely, it is true, we're saved from the penalty of sin once and for all. We're saved as true believers from the power of sin. We don't need to be slaves to it. But we still have the presence of sin in our flesh. Absolutely. I don't need to quote the verses even to you. You know them. And then one day we'll be saved from the presence of sin. But don't forget the other side. We were saved from the penalty of sin so that God has a highway into our hearts. Now He is living in my heart as in my living room. If it went well, if it didn't go well today, it doesn't change it. I just keep talking to the Good Shepherd. That's all. Then daily, daily, you with me, when we say, not I, but you, I don't want the way of my own flesh, I want your way from Genesis to Revelation. We're walking into resurrection, deeper, deeper. People of the light, people of the way is people of the light. The path of the just is a shining light, shining more and more unto the perfect day, 4:18 of the book of Proverbs. Yes, so we are walking deeper into the river of eternal life. This is the other side of being daily delivered from the power of sin. Everything is not sin conscious. Sin is a big deal, but it's been conquered. Conquered. Conquered completely. And then the third thing is what? When we get the new body, our body will join this feast. Feast of grace. Grace of uncondemning Spirit of God. Why does it say that the Lamb is the lamp? The Lamb is the lamp of God. When God's light comes to us, the Lamb is no condemnation. So when God teaches us, it's always to bring us deeper, greater passion for those that don't know God. Greater passion for prayer, not from our strength. Greater desire for the power of eternal life. Yes, yes, but it's not by ourselves. It's not from ourselves. And we are living in this now, I'm honest, with small steps. My steps are not as great as these great people like who built the orphanages, the man that built the orphanages by faith in Great Britain. What was his name? Miller. Oh, wow, 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 wow. His steps were huge. He read the book 6 times a year. Was it five or six times a year read the whole Bible and pray as a prayer book. And he built orphanages, and he never worried about money. Those were big steps. Hey, my steps are small, but you know what? I don't care how small or how big they are. We are on the same way. We're on the same way. I want to recap a couple of things. That was Enoch. He was changed. He was translated. Because what he was on the inside bursted out on the outside. His body finally, I'm almost preaching. His body finally joined what's going on in the inside. Do you know what's going on the inside of you? Grace of God. Let it loose. Let it loose. And then you come to a point sometime like, sometime I'm taking a shower. Taking a shower, and I think about this, and I say, God, this life which is inside of me, is more real. It's more real than I'm even to myself. This bodily is only we need this so that we can communicate with people, fellowship with God, and die more to self. But even dying to self is a privilege. Yeah. So one day, our body will join the feast that is now on the inside. Now, somebody will say, hey, I don't think you're speaking the truth because we have a lot of tears. Yes, it's true. We have a lot of tears. We have a lot of tears. When my brother had his cancer operation, I didn't know if he's going to make it. It stopped me. We have tears, but that does not change what is going on the inside. The real life is on the inside. We're like heaven, living by the grace and breath of God. Because we have the sacrifice that was acceptable to God. That's our life. Oh, I want to get to Hebrews 11, but I think we need a break and it's for the next time. Hey, I got to say one more thing as an appetizer. You remember this man called Barak, and he had to go to battle. Barak made into Hebrews 11. And he went with this amazing lady. He went with this amazing lady whose name was Deborah. He went to war with this amazing lady. And the plan was like a suicide. To go to the valley, the low place where the rivers are, and they came with chariots of iron. It's a sure death. But God gave them victory. But then you know what happened. And I will finish with this verse. Judges 4:22. Another time we'll go into this man's life. Judges 4:22. And this lady called Yael said to Barak. Barak was looking for the enemy called Sisera. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Yael came out to meet him and said unto him, come, and I will show you the man whom thou seekest. But the man was dead. You know, this is our enemies. We're looking, going after the enemy. We think we have to kill the enemy. And God shows him, no, the lady killed the enemy. You know what happens? We go after our enemies, but the enemy is killed. We don't need to kill the enemy. Yes, we have a fight of faith. This is what we need to believe. I will show you the man who you seek. It's powerless. Now, the things that we fear actually are paper walls. And it's a battle of faith. There are tears. There are moments that we literally cry, God, I don't know if I can take it anymore. But every time we trust Him, we'll find out that situation was a paper wall. They all are paper walls. And we live by the sacrifice that God gave. And we live by the breath of God. And then we are changed, first on the inside, and then we'll come into our body. Yes, remember, saved from the penalty of sin, power of sin, and presence of sin. But it is saved so that God can come into our lives, that we have a daily walk into resurrection, and finally we will be filled with life and glory, and we will join fully the life of God, even in our body. So it is about sin, but the sin is not even the center question anymore. It's the Lamb in the midst of the throne. So for those of you that hear this by the, what is this called, a camera, by these devices, meditate on it. Think about it. Let it sink into your heart. I'm not too far in this walk, but I know it's real. I've tasted enough that I know this is the true grace of God. Amen.